Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 4, Episode 28. As the Sunday without the Rangers playing doesn't go exactly the way the Rangers want, with the New Jersey Devils and the Pittsburgh Penguins getting a 3 possible points in this game, the Devils winning it, unfortunately. So here we are. It's Sunday. The New York Rangers barely play anymore, except for tonight against the Florida Panthers. We're going to have some consistency this week with the New York Rangers hockey. We have 3 games, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm pumped because I don't know about you, Andy. Before we get into how are you doing, all I have to say is I'm actually pumped. And I'm going to be positive this podcast because I know it's easy to be very negative after a 3-1 loss to the Boston Bruins. But I'm positive. And I'm going to force Andy today to be the negative one. So, Andy, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm intrigued by your premise. And hearing you say that, my first reaction is, who are you and what have you done with my co-host? But, the Rangers have a little lull here in their season. So I think it was a good time for us to take stock, especially that it's not quite the halfway point, but it feels we're getting close to there, right? How many games have they played so far?
Total games the Rangers have played 46.
Oh, so it is over.
We're beyond the halfway point.
Yeah. We're on the other side of it. Yeah, but we're pretty close to the middle. So this was a good as place as any to take stock of the team, especially with probably, I don't know when they're going to get this many games off again, but they make the most of it with a few practices, one of which is in front of their fans at the Garden, which everyone and their mother went to. I had multiple, and it was free, so I had multiple people asking me if I want to go, and just unfortunately scheduling wise didn't work out, but it was well attended and it looked like a really fun atmosphere. And as we look at the New York Rangers today, they are still in a playoff spot. Even in the tight division they're in, I think you're starting to see that maybe barring a late push from the Florida Panthers, I think you're almost looking, knock on wood, at what the playoff picture is going to look like in the East. But again, you say that, and then the Rangers in their second half here could just go on a massive disappointing streak and fall out of it after doing their damnedest to get back into it early in the season, you know. But I guess a good thing to say about this team is that for all the flaws and the tweaking and the constantly searching and the underperforming, they sit third in the Metropolitan Division, which I think is also a testament to maybe just their baseline talent, which is what makes them so frustrating, but also their ceiling so high, which is, like I just said, frustrating, because at the peak of their powers, they can be absolutely great. And even when things aren't working, they do have some big guns that can step up, like Adam Fox or Igor. But yeah, again, it's frustrating, but I'm willing and ready to hear why you were so positive this evening, James.
Well, I'm positive for a couple reasons. Number one, I'm positive because I watched that Boston Bruin game and I was actually pleased with how the Rangers lost. And I know I could just spin this and be like, it was pathetic performance. They could not score. They didn't score on the power play. But I'm not going to go down that road because there was a couple positives. The first positive from that Boston Bruins game is that they killed off 4 of the Boston Bruins power plays, which is exactly what you need to do in order to beat teams like that. Unfortunately, they did not score on any of their special teams opportunities, meaning three power plays, and they go 0-for-3. And I did say that that was probably going to be the difference maker in the game. If you're not going to be able to score a power play goal against the Boston Bruins, you're not going to beat them. But the New York Rangers, they got shots. Panarin got shots on goal. You know, Kreider, he got shots on goal. We were pressing them. I thought we at times dominated them. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're not going to dominate the Boston Bruins for 60 minutes, but you got to be able to fight. You got to be competitive. You got to have your opportunities too. The Rangers just didn't score. And if that's all I'm going to say about this team is that we cannot score, well, then we're going to be all right. Because, you know, I feel like this has been the narrative for the New York Rangers for a very, very long time, is that we just get snake bitten and cannot score when it matters. I'll take it. It could have been much worse. We could have gotten totally outplayed. We didn't have a stinker of a game by any means. Their players rose to the occasion and found ways to get goals, and we didn't. And we had opportunities. We just didn't capitalize on them. And it's just that simple. You know, we needed a power play goal. Boston doesn't need to score in the power play, which is why they're the best team in the NHL. We just missed opportunities. But it was a 3-1 game against a team who's 36-5-4. And I felt like we could have won that game. And that's why I'm positive. You know, we didn't get blown out of the building. I thought the first game against Boston, Andy, I thought we played a good first period and then we shit the bed. For the New York Rangers, we weathered the storm. You know, Zacha got a quick one, but, you know, we kind of kept it even. You know, Bergeron then got a goal in the second period that we, I felt like, dominated at times. You know, and then they get the third one, which is right off the bat in the third period, which is an awful goal to give up. But this is the Boston Bruins. You're at that point, the game's already over. Going into the third period, you're already down by two goals. The game's already over. You throw the third period out. You know, and then Ben Harper gets his first NHL goal. I don't know. I just felt like out of all the losses the Rangers could have had, this one actually kind of made me feel good because I felt like we were right there with the best team in the NHL. And I feel like it's not even close. And if we can hang with them and show signs of life and show signs of dominance and pressure, you know, drawing penalties, getting those opportunities. I don't know, Andy. Call me crazy. Call me, you know, call me nuts. But I feel like out of the losses that the Rangers had, this is probably one of the better ones against, you know, the best team in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, I think my thoughts on that game pretty much echo yours. I thought it didn't seem like it was a huge disparity in carrying the play. I thought the Rangers actually, you know, and you can maybe say score effects has something to do with it, but, you know, Boston was clearly the better team in the first. The Rangers were probably the better team in the second, and obviously they're pushing most of the third, but Boston didn't stop coming. And I will say this, I think the maturity clearly is a lot of the difference. I think you hope that when the Rangers' younger players are older, they can. I think Boston just does everything so fundamentally well. I think they have a better system. they play a little bit more of a system progressive style hockey. Everyone is good with their sticks. Everyone is heavy in their board battles. They have some good skaters on that team. They have some big bodies. They're almost like a perfectly constructed team. And if that wasn't it, unlike I think even last year with the when everyone knew that the Avalanche were basically going to, the cup was theirs and it was just about who could take it away from them. The one thing about them is you were like, well, the goaltending might be a little sus. And it was at times, it wasn't the best, but it was more than enough to get done. Well, Boston also has elite goaltending. You know what I mean? That game, honestly, even if Boston, because at the end of the day, if Boston should have won it, it should have, they should have won by one goal. The Rangers could have easily had on any other goalie in the league, any other, and maybe even Swayman on any other night, they would have probably had two or three goals, but he was unbelievable that game, you know? So, but the Rangers made mistakes and Boston didn't make a single mistake, you know? I would say, you know, the only goal they gave up, the Harper goal, wasn't a mistake. It was just, you know, a point shot that happened to get through. But the Rangers, you know, in the third period, they're down and they're looking and they fuck up. You know, they make a dumb, ill-advised pass. I think I forget who it was. I think it was someone's trying to get it. Was it Panarin? I forget who it was. They're trying to just coming off of a penalty, just trying to force, or it's Trouba. I forget who it is, but it's probably Trouba. That sounds about right. But Boston doesn't make mistakes. But that being said, it felt like a pretty even game. The score did not feel indicative of like that Boston was absolutely creaming the Rangers. But that being said, the areas in which I did see that there is a difference in these teams, it was just the attention to details that Boston had. The fact that they could blindly sling passes and someone would be ready to skate into it. And that just shows me that they just have comfortability with their system. They know what their assignments is. They know when they're supposed to go. They know when they're supposed to hold back. They know when they're supposed to clog up. They just know. And I just think this Rangers team, even though, you know, this is their second year with Gallant, and even though Boston has a new head coach, you know, coming off of the swap, you know, with now having it's Montgomery, right? It's Boston's coach.
Yeah.
You know, from Cassie to Montgomery, but it seems they don't play much different than they used to. It's just, I think they get Krejci back, which has been absolutely huge for them. They obviously have Taylor Hall, who no longer has to pretend to be a superstar. He can just play a high scoring support, but he's putting up excellent numbers. So they're just a heavy, well-balanced, well-constructed team. So, and you know, getting Hampus Lindholm was a coup for them. He's amazing. He's also amazing for my fantasy. Thank you very much. I mean, you hope that the Rangers look at that and understand why it played out the way it did. And, you know, you can say it was goaltending, but they were just more attentive to their details and the Rangers made some dumb mistakes, which is, you know, which is heartening because those can be fixed. It's not like they try their best and just wasn't good enough. It was just, you know, it's a heartening sign. But at the same time, I think there is a clear reason why the Bruins are the class of the NHL, just because, and why you could see why they have the insane record they have, because they just know what to do in every situation. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's frustrating, but at the same time, it's like you said, it's actually can be a heartening sign if you're the New York Rangers.
Yeah, and they do, like you said, they do everything well, and I thought the Rangers were able to stick around this game. And, you know, you never felt like it was truly over. You know, in the second period, they kept you in it. You know, they did get shots. They did, you know, draw penalties, and that's what you're going to have to do against teams like this. Now, whether any team in the NHL can do that for seven games against the Boston Bruins, it'll be tough. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily pick them just to win the Stanley Cup. I don't have the same feeling I had about the Avalanche that I do for the Bruins this year. Excuse me. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like for the New York Rangers moving forward, you got that game under your belt. You had some time off here this month. The schedule, I think, probably worked against them rather than help them with just like how wonky the schedule was. I mean, like the Rangers played back to back against the Canadiens and the Blue Jackets, had a couple days off, you know, 2 days off before those two games, and then those two games, 2 days off, and then you had to play Boston at home. I don't know. I just felt like that, you know, it's a lot of time off, and, you know, now they had 3 days off and they play the Florida Panthers tonight, because you're listening to this on Monday. But, you know, yeah, I feel like the schedule's not doing them any justice. You know, the New York Rangers are probably best when they're playing every other night, which we'll see this week. And you know, hopefully the Rangers could look at that Boston Bruin game and say, listen, can we beat that team? Absolutely. You know, what we need to do here is get to a level and get to a style in which we can be consistently good for the rest of the season. And I don't want to see the up and down play. I don't want to see the inconsistencies in the offense that we see now. We need some of our guys to get red hot and carry us to the promised land, get us into the playoffs. And, you know, I think it's important for the Rangers to, you know, try to get that home ice advantage and, you know, and overtake the Devils for that second spot. But listen, there's nothing guaranteed in the playoffs. I don't care if you're Boston. I don't care if you're the Washington Capitals as the second wild card. There's no guarantee. Upsets happen. Shit happens. Injuries happen. Momentum happens. Goaltending gets hot. Shit happens. So the goal right now is just to get to the playoffs. But going into that, I do want to see consistency. I do want to see, you know, our players start playing in the roles that they're meant to be played in. Like, you know, Panarin needs to be red hot. He needs to play like an $11 million player. You know, Zibanejad needs to get hot again. You know, these guys need to start putting the puck in the net. And I'm hoping that Boston game, they looked in the mirror and said, listen, we can hang with this fucking team. And this is the team to beat. This is the, you know, projected Stanley Cup champion. So if we can compete with them, we can, you know, we can beat anybody. And it starts, you know, tonight, you know, against the Florida Panthers. And then Wednesday against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Friday, my birthday, against the Vegas Golden Knights. So, you know, these are three, you know, well, maybe not Florida, but three, you know, two of the three teams are playoff teams. One is a team that you're directly competing for to get into the playoffs. So this is a huge test this week, Andy. So, you know, I'll say this. This is the last three games before the All-Star break. What are your expectations going into this week against this competition?
Well, I think the tough thing is that the Rangers have beaten all these teams this season, their first three meetings. So I don't know if the law of averages is on their side. Also, three teams that might be looking for revenge for based on the way their last meetings played out. The Rangers have also been better on the road than they have at home, and two of these games are at home. So that's tough. Halak apparently is starting tomorrow versus the Panthers. He was the first goalie off today at practice. So he's been good in his last few games. And I assume he played against them. He played against them when they were in Miami, right? Or excuse me, Sunrise, wherever the fuck that arena is.
I want to say he did, yes.
And he was great. Halak has been very good in his last few starts. And what, he's got 5 wins in a row?
Yeah, no, he's been playing very, very well.
So, yeah, I'm... So, you know, obviously, I think the Rangers are a better team than the Panthers this season. I think anyone in Iowa can see that. Not that the Panthers aren't dangerous, mind you, because they are. But it's just I still think there is a clear divide. So that's a game you have to win, because the other two, I think, are a toss-up. If I'm genuinely serious. Like, if they win one out of the three, I won't be happy. But I won't be surprised, if that makes any sense. But I mean, I'm basically, obviously you want to get 6 out of 6 points. I don't think they're going to do that. I would love to if you get 4 points out of this, I think I'd be happy. Even if that's like a win and 2 overtime losses or shootout losses, wherever it is. I want 4 points out of the 6. I don't think that's, you know, I say that I want the 6, but I think being reasonable, I want 4 points. I don't care what shape, none of these, you know, the Maple Leafs are, I think they have their spot in the Atlantic locked up. And you know, maybe the one team you hope they get a win against is the Panthers, because that is a team that could potentially somehow, if they get hot, usurp them. If they get to, or you know, if the Rangers happen to fall into wild card position for whatever reason, if another team in the Metro overtakes them, you know what I mean? So that's how my brain's working on this one. But yeah, I think to your point, it's that it's time to just become more consistent. You know what I mean? But as of today, we're still playing line blender. The kid line's back. Panarin's back with Zibanejad and Kreider. The team is giving Lecishin a more extended look. Sammy Blais probably going to be a scratch again. They send Brodzinski back down to the AHL. He scored today back with Hartford as we record this on Sunday. So, yeah. So they clearly still haven't figured out the consistency. But that being said, to my point early when we started this podcast, is that the frustrating but also the promising thing about this team is that for all their trouble finding consistency this season, they're still can operate at a high level kind of when things aren't working. And I think that is a strength of Gerard Gallant's coaching style, even though it drives fans and us crazy, is that he would love to live in this world where he can throw any combination of anyone over the boards and it works somehow. You know what I mean? So you would love for them to find some consistency. You would love for, it'll be interesting to see the second line now, which I believe is Kravtsov with Trocheck and VC, how that line looks now that Panarin is separated from Trocheck. Because I just think at this point, it's just not, you could see they just don't have chemistry, you know, which, yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously, well, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. No, well, not to just interrupt you, but I do feel like, you know what? There's inconsistency with this offense all up and down the lineup. From the first line, obviously, you know, down to the fourth line. Not that the fourth line really needs to be consistent, but you know what I'm saying. And yeah. And you know what? I don't know why does Panarin automatically have to play second line?
Like, when I was playing first line.
Right, I know, but like, is there a reason why? Like, I just feel like when you look at the Rangers roster, everyone just automatically assumes Panarin is the second line winger because Kreider is playing first line. Like, it just shouldn't be like that. And
no,
like,
I
said this multiple times. Move Kreider to the right wing. The guy, it's not like he does anything special on the left side. He barely does anything.
Yeah,
so,
well, yeah, keep going.
No, move him. Like I said, he should have been moved to the right side a long time ago to give the right side a little bit more strength because, you know, obviously we're hurting. He doesn't like to play Kravtsov consistently. So it just made more sense to have, you know, Kreider on the right side. Now, can you tell me what the line combinations are? Because I don't know 100% what, especially the bottom six, what they're looking like.
Yeah, so let's see. I just want to see it because I saw him from the open practice. Everything is the same at today's practice. Hold on, I got to find the lines again. Yada-da-da-da-da-da. All right, here you go. Panarin on the left, on the first line. Panarin's Zibanejad, Kreider moving to right wing.
Oh, wow. It's almost like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, VC, Trocheck, Goodrow on the second line. The kid line is back. And then you have Kravtsov, Lysishin, and Gauthier as the fourth. Blay is subbing in and out, but it's looking like he's going to be the odd man out. He'll be the scratch. So, yeah, I mean, kid line's back. Panarin goes up. Kreider goes to the other side. And based on Gallant, at today's practice from, I almost said Tarrytown, but is that where it's in Tarrytown, right?
Yeah.
Basically said, Gallant said, this is courtesy of our buddy Vince Mercogliano on Twitter. Gallant said he let Kreider and Panarin decide who would move to right wing. Kreider likes left wing, but I can see him coming down that right side with some speed. On your off wing, when you get the puck in the middle of the ice, he can duck that shoulder down and beat a defenseman wide, which is true. And also, Kreider has scored some beautiful goals coming down that left wing, the right wing, just when naturally crossing over sometimes on the ice. I've seen him blow a few pucks past goaltenders going down that side in the past few years. He just, you know, he's a left winger, so he doesn't get that chance very often. So that would be my message for him, because I think even if he misses the net, Panarin likes to kind of hang out near the left, the left wall. So he should hopefully be there to at least, if it, you know, whatever, get to it first and do something else with it. You know what I mean? But, he also said this about Sammy Blay today, which is kind of interesting. Gallant said this about Blay being scratch. It's been real hard. Things haven't gone the way he wanted for us or for Sammy. He's sitting there with no goals, I think 5 assists. He's played some okay hockey times, and other times it looks like he's a step behind. So I don't know if the intimation there is he's still hurt and whatever, but yeah, listen, there's a, you know, that's, I'm not even, that's a whole podcast unto itself. You and I both have the same thoughts on it. Everyone else does on it. It's clearly, it's an upsetting situation. The trade makes a trade look even worse.
The guy got hurt though.
But that's the thing. It's just, it's not even worth, it's like, this is the reality we're in after the guy got hurt. It's not a Lafreniere situation where you're looking at the player and being like, why aren't you better? You know what I mean? It's like, well, we know what happened. It's a shame, you know, but it's a tough situation. They say it could take up to a year or sometimes longer to come back fully from those things. Cause he looked, for a guy his size before he got hurt, he looked pretty as dynamic as a big guy could be with the Rangers. You know, some of the plays he was making early on last season before getting hurt.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, that's why the Rangers signed him to a one-year deal. That's why he took the one-year deal. It was a question mark going into the season, and it failed. I mean, the experiment failed with Blais. And it's not, for me, forget about the trade. The trade was thrown out the window as soon as he hurt himself.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you don't know what the player will do. You don't know how, everybody's different. So, you know, it's nothing against the guy. It's just he hasn't healed 100%, or unfortunately for him, this injury has left him a step behind in a game where he needs to be quicker because he doesn't have the skill level to compete at a, you know, with a slower pace to his game. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's just the reality of it. And at least the Rangers see it, and they're not, you know, they're being proactive about it, you know, sitting him obviously is a smart thing to do because he's not helping us when he's in the lineup. I don't know.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Not to be mean about it, but that's
just no, but yeah, it's just the reality that we're in, you know? So yeah, it's unfortunate. It just stinks, but
and I liked Blais. I was one of those guys that was applauding the trade for getting a guy like that. I thought he was great when he was healthy, and then he got hurt, and that was that. I mean, you can't, you know.
No, yeah, it's unfortunate, but I unfortunately it's looking like this is probably going to be it for Sammy as a Ranger, and you know, whatever. We'll see what happens to his career after this, but. And I don't know, although stranger things have happened, who knows, maybe the Rangers do get some injuries down the way here and he comes in and he actually finally starts working, but yeah, unfortunately I wouldn't hold my breath, but yeah, it's just unfortunate. The NFL playoff action continues. We're one step closer to Super Bowl 57, and for the NFL divisional round, check out DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Boost your NFL winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet up to $5 on the NFL divisional round and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. It's a very short, limited sample size, but what are your early thoughts on Lecision for the Rangers?
Listen, I hate being the guy that makes, you know, I hate being the guy that makes like an opinion on a kid so early, because
you can't. Yeah, it's hard because
the grind of the NHL season, you don't really know what you truly have in a player until he's in the grind. And right now everything is fresh for him. You know, he's being sheltered with his playing time, but
yeah, he's barely played. Let's
yeah. But I feel like I do think that, listen, he's not going to be like the next star of the New York Rangers or anything, but he's making the most, I think, out of his opportunity right now. And that's good to see. But, you know, what are your thoughts? Because I knew nothing about this player going into this. You know, obviously you said, you know, he came from the Knights. So I had no idea what kind of player he was. So it's nice to see actually him, you know, kind of take advantage of the second opportunity that he's gotten.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's hard, so hard to make a formulate opinion off of such a literally little playing time and only two games, but you know, I see a fourth line guy who comes into a new team and has some good jump for his first two games because it's a new change of scenery and you want to impress your, so that's really it. Didn't see anything eye popping, didn't see anything that at least told me red flag, red flag, red flag. This guy stinks, you know. But yeah, I don't know. It's early returns. Looks like he looks like a fourth liner. He you know, tries to get in heavy and get shots on goal and play cycle, give and go hockey that fourth liners do. That's really it. So I thought I'd heard his skating was bad, so I was a little worried, but it didn't seem bad to me. He seemed relatively fleet of foot, you know.
Yeah,
not a burner by any means, but he seemed to get in on the forecheck quickly, like most fourth liners do, and I don't know if that's him literally working his bag off or who knows, but yeah, they're there. And obviously he's not a small guy, but you know, he's 5'11", which isn't huge, but he has reasonable jam. But again, he's, you know, 195 pounds or whatever, but he's a fourth liner at this point in time. But again, because he had an awesome season in the AHL there, and he's 23 years old, there's some hope that there's a little bit more there, that he's hopefully at least a good fourth liner who could potentially even become a third liner in the NHL. But you know, I'm not going to hold my breath on that, but you know, he looked like a fourth liner. And in this league, if you have a dime a dozen fourth liner on your fourth line, that's fine. So does everyone else, you know, unless you're some of the best teams in the league that actually have some, like if you're the Islanders having Casey Cizikas, who plays on the fourth line for forever, but he's actually a third line talent, you know.
And you know, again, there's a fire lit up under his ass right now because he was, you know, kind of released by the Knights and picked up by the Rangers. So this is kind of his second opportunity to, you know, to make something of himself. You know, 23 is young, but it's also not young when you're looking at what you have out of draft pick. So we'll see. We'll see what he looks like, you know, a month from now, if he's still in the lineup, or, you know, if he's kind of, you know, fizzled himself and played himself out of here. So, I think for the New York Rangers, Andy, the one question, and I don't think this is like a bad thing, but what are your thoughts about the New York Rangers kind of relying on their defense to pick up the offensive pieces in many games? You know, do you think this is like, obviously I don't think it's sustainable, but if this is the Rangers' identity, where do you think we go from here? Because unfortunately, I don't think we're going to win a playoff round with just the, you know, expectation of, you know, a Fox or a Miller or a Trouba, you know, to put the puck in the net and generate the offense through, you know, shots and screens and stuff. So I really want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, if I'm being honest. I think, although maybe you don't want it to be the whole crux of your team, I think one of the Rangers' biggest strengths is, I believe, once again, much like last year, they get some of the most points from their back end, more than almost any other team in the league. I think they're second in defenseman scoring in the league right now, I believe, in terms of total points. I could be wrong on that, but I thought that's what the case was. Listen, they're, as long as they can make sure they're not, their forwards can fill in for them defensively and make sure if a D-man decides to activate. I mean, when you look at the plays Fox can make when he goes up the ice, or the plays that Keandre can make, and hell, even when Trouba brings a puck to the net, I think that's the funniest thing about Trouba is that because he's a big guy who's physical, everyone's like, stay at home rock Jacob Trouba for years. But when in the truth is, Trouba's been is an offensive defenseman, like, or has been for years. You know, he ran the power play in, he was right, the point man on the power play for Winnipeg for a couple seasons, you know, I mean, like, and he shoots the puck and he gets pucks through, but he's been cast as like, oh, this big stay at home rock, which is probably I would argue he's not good at, you know what I mean? But I think the Rangers, the chaos they cause, especially when it's hard to the way how well some teams defend, but the fact that you see the Rangers actually catch teams a lot with their defensemen in the rush more so than when their forwards in the rush, because it's, you know, based on how teams are defending and gapping up and covering their assignments. But when a D-man quickly activates and a team's either changing or trying to switch coverage, it creates some a little bit of disarray, and then you can find a trailer usually. So I like it, but obviously, to what my point was earlier, it cannot be your whole one gimmick. You know what I mean? That's not success. You want that along with some sustainable offense from your and scoring from depth from your forward lines. But it's certainly a nice feather to have in your cap. I will say that it is. I'm glad the Rangers at least have some offensive skill in the back end, and it's only improving as players like Braden Schneider find their scoring touch more and more. You know, so. And even guys like maybe Lindgren, who aren't the best, but still aren't afraid to wheel around with the puck a little bit. I think they just need to get a little bit smarter about their shot selection and what they're trying to do with it. Because with Lindgren, it seems to be the same thing all the time. He takes the puck up the boards, and he fakes a shot, and then he kind of keeps going, and then he's trying to get it back to the crease. But I almost rather just take a shot from the boards. I don't care if it's clearly not going to go in. Maybe it just hits the goalie in the chest and then goes right into the, you know, bumps into the slot. So, yeah, I'm glad it's an element the Rangers have their game, because some teams just are totally devoid of it. They clearly have had success with it. But at the same time, you know, you can't make that your whole gimmick. So you would obviously like to see everyone pulling the rope a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's funny. Your negativity is more positive than my positivity.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. I don't know if it's shot selection or just, you know, snake bitten or just, you know,
just not an offensive guy. I mean, is probably the answer, really. But
yeah, no, it's just, I think overall the New York Rangers are all the shot select. It's like they're always just one step behind with everything they do. So it's like you can't even pinpoint any of the New York Rangers problem for any specific player, because they're all guilty to it to a certain extent. So but I to comment really on like the defense, I do like this element that we have a group that's not afraid to step up and be offensive. And, you know, I did leave Lindgren out of that. But Lindgren, you know, again, it does all the little things. And, you know, it's not always pretty what these guys do. But they just get shots to the net, and, you know, we just got to, you know, be able to get rebounds and, you know, be able to, you know, create off that first shot, you know, get the puck back and create another shot, another opportunity. It can't be one and done hockey, because you're never going to score goals that way. New York Rangers got to be, you know, persistent, you know, shots to the net, getting rebounds, you know, getting loose pucks when they scored out into the corners. And, you know, I think the fact that the New York Rangers can, you know, have their, you know, defensemen activate, it should help them in that area. But right now it just seems that, you know, offensively, where our offense, it's has no effect on them. Whereas our defense, you know, they're racking up points left and right. I think we're number one in the NHL right now in terms of defensive points. So, I don't know. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I do. There's a few things around the league I wanted to talk about. The Canucks finally fire Bruce Boudreau. I mean, what a fucking shit show that's been. Pretty embarrassing, honestly, if you're the Canucks organization. I mean, this has been the obvious move for weeks now, right? You know, and instead they're letting Boudreau just until today, a Sunday when we record this, just answering the same dumb questions over and over again about why are you still here? Why have they fired you yet? You know, and just it's torture. You know what I mean? And you know, for a guy like that who's such a universally beloved coach, and has been in the game a long time, and yeah, it's unfair. So I don't know why they were holding off, but they finally do let him go, and they hire Rick Tocchet. And I don't suspect we'll see much of a change, but if you do, they'll be very interesting. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't know. James, what do you think about this whole situation? And do you think Tocchet will have some immediate returns for the Canucks?
I think he will. I feel like just in general, you always see a bump in play from the players, because at this point, you know, you feel like if you're one of those players on that team, you got to feel that management has taken away an element of the team that you can't use as an excuse.
you know, it's like, all right, we got rid of the coach, so we're next. You know, we're now the microscope is on us. You know, the magnifying glass is on us and our play, and whether or not we're gonna, you know, bring it every single night. I mean, I might be not my minority here in thinking. Does anybody else, Andy, just think that the Vancouver Canucks roster just isn't that good?
I mean, that's what I think. And I think anyone who doesn't think that is kidding themselves.
Right. And I just feel like there's still people out there that think, like, you know, they're built to make the playoffs. Even in the West, I don't think they're a playoff team. So I don't know what more you kind of want out of this team. So, I mean, listen, I understand changing the coach. Maybe you get a bump in play, but overall, I think this is it, what you have out of this team. I mean, you put money into the wrong players, and, you know, a couple players that you do have are not able to carry the load every single night. So, you know, Quinn Hughes can't be putting up 3 points every single night. You don't have that type of roster. So, yeah, I think it's just, you know, I don't know what this team does. I don't know what they have in terms of prospects or draft picks, but the Canucks are going to have to look to shed some of these, you know, players and, you know, kind of do it like a mini rebuild here. Because,
I mean, can you imagine if they just did what they were supposed to do and trade Miller last year? They'd already been well on their way. They would have got a haul for him.
Yeah. I mean, but they re-signed him, you can say the same thing, like, even about the Sharks when they re-signed Hurdle, right?
Yeah.
Was it Hurdle that I think they re-signed
to all those years? Now they're going to be shopping Timo Meier.
Yeah, now they're shopping Timo Meier. It's like, well, why not shop everybody and just bite the bullet? Like, I'm so surprised that these teams are so worried about being really bad, especially when...
I don't know. I don't... Anyone
who, this year.
I was going to... Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is that anyone who watched the World Juniors this year, literally, you know... And especially the Sharks, you know, Erik Karlsson's be having a pretty productive season for them. The longer he's around, the more middling they're going to be, because it's not a, he's the only reason they're a somewhat in the mix ish type team is because of him. Then he's having an unreal season.
Right.
Yeah. It's just,
it's
if I'm any team, you know, if I'm any team that is in the running for Bedard, I'm going about it full force. And if I don't get him, I said, well, at least I tried. You had to try, because, you know, I mean, even as it stands with Erik Karlsson having an amazing season, the Sharks have 37 points and they're, you know, over 23 points out of a playoff, or 20 points out of a playoff spot. It's like, yeah, it's just... You're clearly not getting in, so what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? So, but well, listen, we'll see if Mike Greer, if he's able to move Meyer, if he's able to move Karlsson. Because honestly, you could probably get a haul for Karlsson the way he's playing this year, you know? So, I know the contract is scary, but
the contract is scary.
That might be a second team, you know, launder his contract type deal. You know what I mean?
Right.
I
don't know. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, at this point, like what are you doing? Like, why do you want to be? Why are you trying to fight to be middle of the pack right now? It pays to be bad. You're potentially getting a kid that will change your organization for the next, hopefully, 20 years. So I don't know. It's just mind-numbing to me. And the fact that, like, you have scouts that should have been looking in advance that this kid was coming this year, so let's be bad this year and next year. Like, I'd be setting myself up to be bad for the next couple of years. You know, selling everything, get every single possible draft pick and trading to teams that you think are in the middle of the pack to maybe get first rounders for your top players. Because just because you send them a top player doesn't always guarantee that they're going to be a playoff team. They might end up in that lotto. So, you know, for me, getting as many first round picks is crucial. So, and you know, I don't know what some of these teams are going to be. I don't know what they're going to do. So, I feel like I did have something, but I can't remember.
Was it the, let me see. Was it the All-Star jerseys?
Oh, what? Well, no, it wasn't that, but we can, do you want to talk about that or do you want to save that before going into the All-Star game?
Yeah, we'll save it for the All-Star game. You know, I think most people can probably understand us Ranger fans, what our feelings are on these jerseys. We can save that for closer to the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, though, there was one thing what I totally forgot, but.
Must not have been that important.
No. It had something to do with a team in the league, but I forget. Sorry, Andy. So
it's all right. That's the way
it
goes.
If you have nothing, I got nothing, and you can send us on our way.
Thanks again, everyone, for listening. I hope you are all enjoying the NFL playoffs. I hope that it's going to finally start. We've been pretty lucky with the warmth here in January. Relative warmth to what it usually feels like. Although it's to say lucky might mean that's more woeful ignorance of the effects of global warming and all that other stuff. But it looks like it might start getting cold here in the next few weeks. So, or truly cold, the January cold, which we were lucky enough to skirt around for a little bit. But again, thank you so much for listening. And we shall talk to you all on Thursday's pod. So later. Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.